I was younger and still enjoy doing it. I put on Facebook, I put some pressure on friends of mine that lived in the area. I wanted to go down to Ardmore. Jay Ogden is the manager of the L&S grocery store down there. And we always stop and chat with him, but I haven't had time to go down there. I said, "Won't you come see me?" So he's here tonight, and Letha, his wife, from Athens. So I'm so pleased that they were able to come. Today is his mom's birthday, and she and I, Gail and I, were classmates at Florida College back a long time ago. And Jay's dad, Gary, was probably my best friend. We played a lot of golf and done a lot of fishing, so he passed eight years ago, something like that, Jay. So anyway, greatly missed, a very wonderful gospel preacher. And this kind of reminds me of your dad, Jay. This is something Gary would do. This is my preaching Bible tonight. And you likely have never seen one, but I'll get to it in just a moment. But we're talking, all I'm doing tonight is talking about an old Bible story. Jacob wrestles the angel. And it's not a story that any of you haven't heard, but it's good to refresh our memory of some of these old Bible stories. And that'll become evident as we move along. But the subtitle is what you do when you run out of good options, and we'll see that as well. All right, let's see if I can do this. Nope. And here's the need, talk about the need for retelling the old stories. I was reading a book on religion recently, and it said the modern generation, I guess the college age kids, don't know the Bible stories. They're not being taught, either generationally from parents to children, and certainly not being taught in schools anywhere except for maybe for religious schools. But if you watch the show Jeopardy, it's one of my favorite shows, periodically, regularly, they'll have Bible column of Bible questions. And most of the time I can get a lot of them, maybe not all of them. But I'm beginning to notice more and more, sometimes none of the three contestants know any of the answers. And they're just basic Bible questions as a rule that all of us should know. And I thought, now these guys know everything about, you know, Greek mythology and world geography, and they don't know anything about the Bible. So we're losing in our culture familiarity with the Bible and Bible stories. And that has great implications, more than we can talk about tonight. And so we need to reinforce our own knowledge and remembrance of these stories. And that's basically all I'm going to do tonight, to just go back and look at Jacob's life in a very small slice of it. But we need to start this process early. And that's what this little book is about. And you've seen these. But each of these is for little kids, little babies. And there, you know, here's Moses in the bulrushes and so forth. You can go through, and there's different Bible stories highlighted in this book. So Cookie and I have been giving these away because we think it's a good way to get started in teaching our children the stories of the Bible. There's my spoiler alert. Almost people don't feel like they get their money's worth out of a sermon if there's not some modern-day application. So I'll give you one right now, and that's the only one you're going to get. The rest of it's telling the story. Things happen in life that you do not expect, that you've not planned for, that you will have a very difficult time thinking through. You may not be able to come up with any good solutions or good options. And I found out that that's when people begin to think, maybe God needs to help me with this. Maybe I need to ask God to help me get through this difficult time. A friend of mine, and Jeff might know him, he's about Jeff's age, tall, thin, athletic guy, works out regularly, eats well, all the superlatives you could talk about his health. But apparently was, and this just happened in the last few weeks, apparently was applying for life insurance to ask him to get a colonoscopy. And he had colon cancer. No symptoms. I mean, the exam saved his life. But he had no sense. He said, how can I have colon cancer when I've lived such an exemplary life, you know, physically? He eats right. He exercises. Doesn't look like he's got colon cancer. But that's when, you know, that's when the curveball comes and he's got to figure out what to do. And I'm sure very good Bible teacher, very religious. I'm sure he asked God's blessings on that, and he's gone through surgery and doing well. But there were things come in all of our lives that occur similar to that, not necessarily dealing with cancer, but things will happen that we don't have solutions for, and we need God's intervention. We need God's blessings, and that will be a theme that will cover go through the rest of this lesson. My kids, Molly and Kenny, were up at Molly's house in Franklin this afternoon. So after church, I wanted them to come down, but it's an hour and a half each way, and Kenny drove all night last night from Tampa. So they didn't feel like they could be here tonight, and I'm so disappointed. But anyway, so I got my PowerPoint out, and I gave them my sermon as a dessert after lunch. And toward the end of it, this story is very moving to me. I started crying and couldn't finish it. So we'll get into this story, and to me it's very moving. So at the end, if I'm sobbing, just go on with Gavin, just go in. Oh, thou fount of every blessing. So I'm not going to give an invitation at the end. When Gavin gets up to saying, oh, thou fount of every blessing, that's your cue. If you're here tonight and want to be baptized, when Gavin gets up, that's your cue to come forward. Cause I may not be in any shape, to talk about, the invitation. So are you with me on that? Oh, thou fount of every blessing. So we can move on from this. I can't go into all the details of, Jacob and Esau's life, but you'll remember Rebecca had twins, and the oldest one was redheaded, and Jacob, the younger one, came out holding his brother's heel. And the word Jacob means supplanter, usurper. And that, as I wrote on the screen, that will be an omen of things to come. Esau was a hunter and his dad's favorite. Jacob, I guess, tended the flocks and was his mother's favorite. Esau comes in from the field, from hunting, starved to death, and Jacob buys his birthright with a bowl of bean soup, lentil soup. Which says, I find in this early part of Jacob's life, he's not a very likable person. But Kenny, after I preached my sermon after lunch, Kenny said, Dad said Esau wasn't a very bright person, and said, maybe some of what happens was because Rebecca was not real impressed with Esau. And, so Jacob and his mother Esau scheme to steal Isaac's blessing, and they succeed. Toward the end of his life, Isaac is going to confer the patriarchal blessing. And I don't understand what that was all about other than what we read in the Bible. It was apparently a custom or whatever, but it had a good deal of weight to it. It wasn't just a bunch of mumble jumble that the dad said over the son, but it had a great deal to do with their future and success and so forth and so on. So Jacob and his mother, Rebecca, wanted to make sure that Jacob got that premium blessing. So here's what happened because of that. Esau's not happy about it when he finds out he's been cheated out of the major blessing. So here's a passage right out of the Bible. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. So it's about that time that Rebecca decides it might be wise for old Jacob to leave town. And so she talks to Isaac about, I don't want Jacob married one of these local girls. I want to send him back to my brother's house and find a wife from my people. And under that pretense, and it wasn't altogether pretense, I think that part was true, but they ship Jacob out quickly, and he leaves with the clothes on his body, and I say the shirt on his back, and his staff, and that's it. He takes nothing else with him. But he gets up to the northern part of what we call Palestine or the Near East. This is ISIS country today. This is kind of an aside. There's Mosul right there. And this is Western Syria. The Kurds live in there now. But anyway, back in those days, it was called Padanaram. Up at the early waters of the Euphrates River. So when Jacob gets to Haran, or near Haran, he has a dream. And in this dream, there's a ladder going to heaven, and there are angels coming up and down the ladder. And God tells him that, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. So he may not have been quite this far up, but he was on his way to this part of the country. So when he gets to Padanaram, to his uncle Laban's place, he meets this beautiful woman at the well where they're watering their sheep. And that's Rachel. She's gorgeous, and he falls in love with her immediately. And long story there that evolves. He works 7 years for Laban to marry Rachel, but Laban pulls a trick on him and gives him his oldest daughter, Leah, and a week later he's allowed to marry Rachel, but has to work another 7 years. Then they get down to the point, he's worked as a shepherd for Laban all these years, and I figured Jacob was probably in his early 20s when he went up to Padanaram, and early 20s. So now, 20 years later, he's in his 40s, somewhere in his early 40s. So relatively young man. But it begins to dawn on him, you know, I've worked all these years and have nothing. So he works out a scheme with Laban, his uncle, to begin to put his name of ownership on some of the sheep that he's tending to. So Laban comes up with the idea, you can have all the speckled sheep. Well, the speckled sheep are probably one in a thousand. You know, every thousandth lamb that is born is speckled or striped or black or whatever other criteria that Laban points out. So Laban's not worried about it. But Jacob is working with the blessings of God. And so you can read the details of it. Jacob ends up with most of the sheep and the strong sheep, the healthy sheep. So after a period of time, Jacob has got a lot of valuable livestock. So now 20 years into this relationship up in Padanaram, he has four wives. And I know two of them are handmaiden, two of them are wise, but I'm just calling them all wise. He had 12 children, 11 boys and a daughter. And I don't know what he would be worth in modern, but he's wealthy at this point in time. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what belonged to our father, he has made all this wealth. Jacob saw the attitude of Laban, and behold, it was not friendly toward him as formerly. Then the Lord said to Jacob, return to the land of your fathers and to your relatives, and I will be with you. So God keeps reiterating his intention to bless Jacob. So Jacob has this word from God, it's time to go home. But he can't come up, he doesn't know what Esau's thinking. He hadn't talked to Esau in 20 years. He hadn't had word from Esau in 20 years. The last he knew of Esau's frame of mind is Esau wanted to kill him. So he, what else would he think? You know, when I go back, I've got a formidable foe to face. And so he begins a scheme. He begins to think, what can I do to mitigate my losses? One of his plans was to take his livestock, the sheep, the goats, the donkeys, the camels, and divide them up. And I don't remember there was an exact number, but let's say he took 100 sheep. And he tells the herdsman, take these sheep to meet Esau and tell him that his servant Jacob sent them as a peace offering. And then he said, wait a little while and then send the goats, and wait a little while and send the donkeys. So he's trying to soften Esau's attitude toward him with these peace offerings. So that's one of his strategies. Sounds reasonable to me. Then this is the one that doesn't make him happy and doesn't make me happy. He decides he will divide his company, take one wife and handmaiden with their kids, put them here, start them toward Esau, take the remaining wife and handmaiden and their kids and start them toward Esau, but have them separated with by distance. If Esau meets one group, whichever group he chances upon first, and slaughters them, then the other group can hear the commotion and escape into the wilderness, hide. That sounds reasonable, but here's what's the cost of that. The cost of that is he's going to lose half his, he stands to lose at least half of his family. And he has no idea which half it would be. It appears from the scriptures here that he favors Rachel and her son Joseph. She hadn't had Benjamin at this point. But he has no way of protecting them. This scheme is not going to protect them individually. It'll protect his group. So I don't think that's a real good scheme, if you ask me. And I don't know that he thought it was. And we'll get to how he addresses that in just a moment. And from this picture, it dawned on me, and this is just an aside, but this is where I broke up. Back here in this group of kids and adults is a little boy about 8 years old named Judah, probably playing with his brothers and half-brothers, or hanging around his mother, Leah. And we're not going to hear much about Judah in the rest of the, here I go, in the rest of the Bible. The Bible, the Old Testament doesn't tell us a lot about Judah and his adulthood and life. But we know Judah, don't we? Because he had a grandson, or a great-great, ever how many grandson, named Obed. And Obed had a son named Jesse, and Jesse had a son named David. So back in this group is a little boy that means a lot to us. I told you I wouldn't make it. So anyway, this is Jacob's plan. So I don't know exactly how this came about. Nobody does. But I think I know why it came about, and I think I know the outcome of it. And what I did, and I'll, here, I guess I can read off this screen. I went in and substituted the noun for the pronoun. This is difficult to read in the Bible because it says he, him, his, and you have to really think hard as to which one it's talking about. So I went in and just put the noun for the pronoun, and it reads easier to me. So see if you agree with me. Then Jacob was left alone after he sets the family across the river, and an angel, and the translation I had said man, but I think it was an angel, so that's my interpretation. And an angel wrestled with him until daybreak. When the angel saw that he had not prevailed against Jacob, the angel touched the socket of Jacob's thigh. So the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with the angel. Then the angel said, "Let me go, for the dawn is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And the angel said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." The angel said, "Your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." And that's what the name Israel means. Then Jacob asked him and said, "Please tell me your name." But the angel said, "Why is that you ask my name?" And the angel blessed Israel there, blessed Jacob there. I don't know where the angel came, why God presented the angel there and why a wrestling match ensued. But I think I know why, what the fight was all about. And it says here, "Bless me." And I think what he was saying, what he was meaning was, I don't have any good options here. I'm going to lose. I stand to lose at least half my family. That's not acceptable. That's not something that I can live with. Bless me. Help me get back to my homeland as a whole company. And I think that, and he wasn't going to let him go until that blessing was secured, and it was. At the very end here it says, "And the angel blessed Israel there." So now Israel has some confidence that when he meets Esau, he can meet him with confidence. So here they are, and what Esau doesn't realize is, or what Jacob doesn't realize, that Esau has been very successful himself, and after 20 years, he no longer has any interest in killing his brother. Of course, Jacob had no way of knowing that. So here in this company is what unfolds, and I'll just read it to you, and you can kind of look for the elements there on the screen. "Then Jacob lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau was coming, and 400 men with him." That sounds pretty ominous to me. "So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids and their children in front, you know, and Leah and her children next, and Joseph and Rachel and Joseph last." He put the most valuable to be the last to be killed, if that's what Esau was up to. "But he himself passed on ahead of them and bowed down to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. Then Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. He lifted his eyes and saw the women and the children and said, 'Who are these with you?' So he said, 'The children whom God has graciously given your servant.' Then the maids came near with their children, and they bowed down. Leah likewise came near with her children, and they bowed down. And afterward Joseph came near with Rachel, and they bowed down. And he said, 'What do you mean by all this company that I have met?'" And he's talking about all the stuff that had come before him. So Esau says, "What do you mean by all this company that I have met?" And Jacob said, "To find favor in the sight of my Lord." But Esau said, I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own." Jacob said, "No, please. If now I have found favor in your sight, then take my present from my hand, for I see your face as one sees the face of God, and you have received me favorably. Please take my gift, which has been brought to you, because God has dealt graciously with me, and because I have plenty." Thus he urged him, and he took it. So to me, that's such a interesting story of a patriarch of our faith. So much happens to Jacob after this that we obviously don't have time to address tonight. Kenny reminded me, and I'd forgotten it, that Jacob goes on to bless the Pharaoh after all the deal with Joseph and all that kind of stuff. When the family resettles in Egypt, Jacob blesses the Pharaoh. So that's a story that all of us need to know and have in our memory. It's Gavin's time now.